Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, your MP3 player, and it's absolutely free. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy. The morning,
but there's a family.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome back. Today's Friday, 8th day of April, 2011. Let's have a look at the numbers. The Dow is down 10 points on the session. S&P is down about a quarter of a point. Comp is off almost 3. A pretty quiet day, all in all. We've had some nice movement, but take a look at the chart here in front of us. We're not too far off where we closed this thing out yesterday. Had a nice run up on Globex overnight. We took advantage of that, trading the YM. We'll talk about that later. And then this big drop this morning. No negative news, no economic reports, just the market went from zone to zone in short order. We also took advantage of that trade in the live trading room. And we'll talk about that later. Standing by in our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. Mr. Mike Reed taking the day off today, taking the family to the movies, going out to eat, enjoying some good family time. Our friend Ben Lichtenstein from the floor of the exchange, Traders Audio, he personally called me yesterday to threaten that he might show up for the show today. So we'll be waiting for that. And of course, in just a few minutes, Mr. David Williams will be on to poke fun at our theme song, Michael's Spaceship, and the Japanese Yen. Michael, how are you?
I am all right. I'm long.
Did you get long on that trade? Let me just show people what we're talking about.
I did.
Watching this trade set up, we waited. I'll just go ahead and spill it. We took the trade going south. Michael entered right here in the live trading room and traded it zone to zone. You actually got out right here, correct?
Yes, right there, 28.5.
Right there. So the concept was zone to zone, and then there was a pullback and a trade right into the zone. And then the zone held. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 contracts later, it finally made up its mind to put a move on. And so this is a long entry for 2 points, or the zone overhead, or whatever unfolds. And we'll see how that turns out. For those of you that follow us on Twitter, you saw the trade that we had last night, which I will show you here real quick. Now, when we put this trade on and we tweeted it out, price was actually trading in this area here, over here, yeah. And the premise of the trade was that price would need to go up through 12,370 to trigger us in long, which it happened. It ran 14 points. We had a 30-point target. It ran 14 points, and then it pulled back to the weekly trading zone, 12,360. So there was we were risking 15 points to make 30. We had a 10-point drawdown in the trade, and then it ran to hit the target this morning. This was just kind of a set it and forget it kind of trade, and what I mean by that is you set it and then you forget it. Does anyone need me to clarify that? You just put it on and forget it.
Let it go.
You can toss and turn, you can fester, or you can choose not to trade at night. You can choose to just trade during the daytime when you can watch the screen. But if you would like to follow us on Twitter, if you would like to get those after-hours trades, just at CFRN, that's who we are. Love to have you. We've had a lot of people. We tweeted in obscurity for quite some time, and of late, probably had 25, 50 people join the list this week, maybe more. I don't know. So you're welcome. It's free. If you don't understand, tweeting, Bert's going to hold a webinar on that, I believe, tomorrow morning. Is that correct, Bert?
I don't think Bert's in here.
No Bert. Okay, guys, our studios in Chicago are temporarily offline.
Yes.
Okay, Michael, I've got a guy that's going to show up here at the studio in about, 15 to 20 minutes. And
okay.
I'm going to have to step away because I have to write him a check for some work he did down at the church. Okay. I'll let you know when that happens, and then you'll be, well, you're already the man, but you'll be like the only man, so.
Okay.
But you'll have the other man, David, here to keep you company. Yeah.
I won't be able to play any intro music for him, though, so we'll have to bring him on.
Well, yeah, we'll bring him on here in a minute and just let him get wound up and let him get going. And it's Friday. I know everybody wants to just like, hey, guys, come on. Cut to the chase. We got lives to live and families to love and... All right, guys, here's what I've been waiting on all day, and I haven't got it yet. Looking for some dynamic support here. On the hourly, we're running out of week for that to happen. But just let me point out real quick before we bring David on. Here's dynamic support going all the way back to Tuesday. We can roll it on back to... Here's resistance on Monday at a weekly zone. Support, resistance right here at the weekly zone. Support the weekly zone, resistance at the weekly zone, dynamic support the weekly zone, resistance, support, resistance. Get the idea? Okay, so now I'm looking for the support to give me confidence that we might just rally into the close, or at least back up to this area right here. Now, the fact that we've bounced up out of the weekly zone and on the 10,000 contract, we have a trade set up right there now. So that's a valid setup without having the support dot. Question. What did you say? The trade that's right in front of you, the ES. Davis. Tell me a tale.
Here we go. All right.
All right. So, Michael, anything else? We spent 7 hours in webinars yesterday, 2 hours in the live trading room, and I spent 2 hours doing the radio show because Garrett came on after you left yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he, you know.
Nice.
Interesting, as always. So 2 hours there, and an hour webinar yesterday afternoon, and the community workshop last night. So, yeah. I'm as anxious as anyone else to get this program underway and moving along, because I need to give the old pipes a rest. I'm doing an awful lot of talking. Anything you want to point out, anything you want to add before we go to David?
No, we can just jump over to David at this point. You know, gold and silver both made new all-time highs today. But that's something that maybe we can get into here with David. That's pretty much it. You know, I'm long right here from 29.50 on the bounce off of the DVC on the 10K, looking for it to move all the way up to 33. My risk is down at 27.50.
And look where we are here, guys, on the sentiment indicator. Okay. We had this gap open this morning on the... This is a 7-minute chart. It does not reflect overnight action. This is the only chart that I use that you'll see where I don't have the Globex session displayed. This helps me to see the gap, how far we went. We came down this morning and we closed the gap, as you can see. Yesterday the close was 13.2850. We gapped open this morning to 35.50. Yeah, so pretty good size gap. We filled it. We hit the sentiment indicator, and we've just basically been rolling to the right. Right there. But we're still blue, so we're still bullish. It's still holding up. Will it get up and get going here on a Friday? We'll just have to wait and see. The market's certainly got some time left in it. If it drops, we know that 27.28 is good support. And if it rallies, we know that 33.34 is potential for good resistance. If we look left, there's the overnight highs up around 35 and a quarter. And we determined the high of the week, Michael, was what, 36.50?
37, I thought. What's that? I thought it was 37 and change. Let's go back and look. 35.50.
Davis, how did I know you were going to say that? I must be psychic. It just must be.
Yeah, 36.50, you were right.
Yeah, 36.50, all right. God bless America. I'm just proud to be an American. All right, we're going to go to Mr. David Williams, pagetrader.com. The man who needs no introduction. Yeah, here I go. Introducing him once again.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning,
David.
Good
morning, Michael. Good morning, David. How are you? How are you, Michael?
All right. So far, so good.
Good. Dwayne, how are you doing?
Good, David. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Friday is here.
Yes,
this is a very important week that we're going to close up today. And a lot of interesting things happening in the markets. But if you'd like to start with anything, Dwayne, you can, or you can let me... get right into whatever, even though it's somewhat quiet today, we can get into it on some markets.
Whatever you got cooking, we're ready for it.
Okay, well, let's start with the S&P, because this is it's a less interesting market than it used to be. You know, remember the days when the market used to go up and down really big and you could make...
I remember.
You remember those days. Michael, you remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
Before you had to go plan and figure out other markets to trade because this market
the good
was
old days.
The good old days.
I quit my day job for this stuff.
What's that?
I said I quit my day job for this stuff.
For this market. And now
and I had a really good one. Yeah, so anyway.
Just stepping back a few weeks, we had originally talked about that March 14th bottom. And normally we would get a multi-week advance off that bottom. We certainly had that. The S&P remains in a bullish position. On the longer-term basis, a daily close today, I've been mentioning this for several days, a daily close above 33 would be pretty much outright bullish. And a daily close below that keeps it somewhat more bearish and neutral. And we are at a critical juncture on the upside here. But on a weekly basis, a close above 26, or not even weekly, just a longer-term basis, a close above 26 this week and subsequent weeks would also be considered bullish as well. Before I get too excited about the long side of the market, I'm going to want to wait and see daily close above 33, and more than a few ticks above 33, you know, something substantially, clearly, obviously, above 33. That opens the door to substantially higher prices, a continued advance, you know, not an immediate advance, not something that just jumps to that number, but relatively speaking, a continued advance that would potentially take us up to 84. So we've talked about that before. It's not an outright forecast for 84. It's more of a general idea of what the market would want to do once we're above these levels. So, and it may take time to do that. So, but it gives you an idea of basically where the market would want to go under normal conditions without having an outright forecast going there. Today, we're trying to get long. We've been trying to get long here for the last 25 minutes at 28, but the market has not been able to get down there. The lowest they've gotten is 29. This is just for an intraday trade, of course, and for a potentially another test of some of the critical levels on the upside. So another small range day in the S&P. This is probably, honestly, for people who are new to the market, the S&P is not nearly as, it's much more comfortable to trade in this as a practice market, if you want to do so. So every now and again, Duane, I'm hearing a low humming noise that sounds similar to Michael Bort's spaceship attempting to take
off. He's in hover mode.
Okay.
So you know, it's so interesting. When I roll my chair across the floor and pick up my cell phone to see who was just calling, which, by the way, it was Ben to give me the signal that he's going to pop in for a minute.
Okay, great.
It makes that humming noise.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's really interesting.
It is. It really
let's
is.
Let's see. Let's let Ben get in here. I want to hear what he has to say, and if he wants to come in now, or do you want me to just continue on?
Well, it takes him a minute from, because he sends
let
me
him
the
know.
Signal.
Let him know, just to interrupt when he comes in, just to say
that's
hi, and
tell
then
him.
We'll be all ears, and we'll go from there.
Are you there, Ben?
Okay, so...
Okay, go ahead. You just go ahead until he pops in.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys.
How are
you?
Good
morning.
Hey, Ben.
How's it going?
It's going.
Good. All right.
Quiet trade here. Very little conviction. Everybody was noticing this morning, I don't know, I'm sure you guys saw it too, that divergence between the Russell and the NASDAQ. Well, NASDAQ just seems kind of strong here today, and I think that's sort of keeping this downside initiative sort of at bay for the most part. But also, you know, one thing I was pointing out to my guys is the Russell showed an enormous amount of strength over the last couple of weeks relative to the others. So you have to, you know, kind of figure out or consider that as well. But I really think this thing wants to go down. It's just without the NASDAQ, it's not going to. So Russell, I think the NASDAQ had shown some relative weakness. So I'm not sure if that's kind of just evening out right now or what. But again, without, you know, that sort of, I don't know if confluence is the right word, but without that, without the follow-through and conviction from all of the major markets, we're not going to, you know, we won't make the move. But, boy, there's a possibility of a nice pattern developing. I mean, if you look at that daily chart right now, there's a possibility of a nice sort of, I always call it like the W or, you know, the M pattern. And oh my gosh, there's some potential for some real downside activity if we start to go. And I just, everybody right now, I'm sure you guys as well, are completely dumbfounded at, you know, how the market's holding up so well considering some of, you know, these geopolitical events, if you will, and, you know, economic conditions and this, that, and the other things. So,
natural disaster.
You know, but again, I don't really think that we've taken out any major levels of support, you know, any major levels of value that I was talking about that we've established on the way up. And so, you know, you've got to give the benefit of the doubt to the bulls still. As much as I know it kind of seems a little weird, breath indicator, you know, it's negative today right now, came off of some really good positive readings, but here we are, look at us. We're still trading on this 1330 level. You know, when is the market going to notice gold into, you know, these all-time highs here, or not all-time highs here, multi-month highs, you know, and it's like, so I don't know, but there's not much talk down here about the government shutdown, you know, and I think most of the guys that have looked into it have seen that in the past, you know, I think it was like the 1990 it happened, that very little market reaction to that. So, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that we're not done for the day here because I have a customer coming on the floor later on this afternoon, and I'd like people to be left here still from C, but they're fading fast, you know, and I think the longer it takes for us to breach the downside, this 27 level, which then turns into like 21,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the longer it takes for us to hit that level, the less, you know, chance that we are. And but right now we're just, you know, we've been in this balance area that we've been establishing over the last, I know you guys have been talking about it too, over the last 6 days in between this 35 and 25, you know, and that's on the upper extreme of that larger degree balance area that we have been establishing, you know, off the initial sell-off that had come, you know, from Japan's news. And so that bigger balance area in between about 25 and even, so 13 even and 13.25, we're right now a smaller balance area at the larger extreme of that. So there's some good trade opportunity here right now. I mean, this is certainly where you want to have heightened awareness, you know, and be more aggressive in trade. And so, but we're just not seeing that reflected in the numbers here. Right now they're testing this low here again, trying to find the NASDAQ on the board where I'm standing. But NASDAQ's five handles off their low still. The one thing I'd be concerned about here today in terms of the bulls is if this NASDAQ does turn south today, look out.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest risk right now. You know, I don't think that I don't think considering the present, you know, situation, fundamental situation right now, that the bears really have major upside to worry about right now. You know, it seems like, again, it seems to be the bulls that have some concerns today. And I don't think they really need to worry about it unless the NASDAQ falls apart. So that's where I'm at.
Well, I just pulled up a daily chart, Ben, and you're right. These dojis and spinning tops that we have up here on the daily chart just kind of hanging there. It's a little bit that's a bit ominous looking. The previous swing high
so.
Up at 37, we can't take it out. We've tried now for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sessions. Take it out
six
and
times,
fail to do it. So.
Now, but also keep in mind that there's a black cloud hanging over us right now. And while we haven't taken out that upside, we haven't taken out the downside either. You know what I mean? So there's something to be said, again, kind of bullish bias still for the most part in that. You know, while the bulls have kind of taken a little bit of a breather, it seems like, the bears have certainly not jumped in and said, hey, here's our chance. You know what I mean? We need to get them while they're, you know, trying to regroup a little bit. So, and like I say, Dwayne, until we start to take out, I hate to say as far as that 1300 level, but certainly through that 1325 with conviction, and then down into the, you know, through that sort of high volume node, or that beef of that bell curve right in that area, you know, which would be, you know, in the mid 1315 area, 1312. So. Let's just wait and see. But like I said, that's what guys down here are talking about. That's what I'm looking at a little bit. But more important, you know, than what I'm looking at, what the guys are talking about down here.
All right, Ben.
Okay. And also, again, what a week. You know, Bank of England acted, right? And not the ECB, as far as I remember. Was it the opposite? No, it was the Bank of England, right?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, this euro.
One of them raised. It was either Bank of England or the ECB that raised 25 basis points yesterday. And
yeah, the euro went wild last night.
There's been a lot hanging over us. You know, China just acted a little bit, so we're going to see. We'll either see some big action this afternoon, or we're going to see some really nice action on Monday.
Well, we look forward to that.
All right. I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Thanks so much for taking the time to come on, Ben.
My pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Dwayne. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that was Ben from Traders Audio. He is live on the floor of the exchange. You can see him many mornings on CNBC. You can visit him at tradersaudio.com. You can take a free trial of his Squawk service. Okay, Squawk's a lot of different markets, the ES, and I think he does oil. He does Forex. Go check it out, tradersaudio.com. And we're always attempting to color code for your convenience, so... As Ben said, there is a black cloud over the market, and you know, I always wanted to be a TV weatherman, I guess, and so it's my first black cloud. But it turned out pretty well, I think. So without any prior training or experience, what do you think, guys?
Well, you're doing a great job.
Great.
You like that? Okay. Studio audience.
Very nice.
And now, David, back to you.
All right. Well, there you are. A couple things, you know, Ben was mentioning about the market here, and I think it bears repeating that no matter how bullish you are, they haven't been able to get higher, and no matter how bearish you are, they haven't been able to get lower.
Yep.
So you have to be very careful until the market shows its hand. I can count, I couldn't count on one hand, a better way of saying it, how many times I've lost in the markets by trying to be on the right side of the market in an uncertain, where we don't have an absolute forecast, where we don't have anything particular laid out, how many times, you know, you just try to be on the right side of it before the move starts. And it's amazing how incorrect you can be about it, or even if you're correct, how markets can flush you out of the move before it runs, and all the things we've talked about so many times. And so that can be, that's a real reason to be careful and to trade inside these ranges until the market shows its hand a little bit more. And yes, you give up profit by doing that, but you also give up or don't have to deal with the potential for large and repeated losses trying to be on the right side of what is obvious to everybody now, that the market's going to have a big move one way or the other. And so, you know, that's basically just something that I've learned over the years, which is that there are certain trades which don't suit me, and I think they don't suit a lot of people, because I've seen a lot of people take that type of setup and just say, you know, I'm bullish, I'm hanging in here, they're going higher, you know. And if the market isn't going higher, then they're going to have to sit through a whole bunch of lower, and you know, and then you get into that whole thing again where you're missing opportunities, you're trading poorly, you're, you know, you're doing everything backwards, and you shouldn't be in that position. There's no need to be in that position. Okay, so having said that, the S&P just swung down to 28.25 here. You know, a couple things I'm going to mention. These are not forecasts, but these are just generalities about the market, and we're going to get to some of the other markets. You know, roughly speaking, normally the market would have liked to have touched 13.20 yesterday. They got down to 22, which is also a level in the panel. So I'm keeping an eye on the market both today and Monday just in case they want to test that. If the market was really, really buoyant with a lot of buying pressure hidden in it, yesterday's low of 22.50 would be considered the market trying to do that. I wouldn't take that low yesterday as that indication until the market started to close daily above 33. So these are, you know, things that go in the back of my mind because of there's certain areas that the market would naturally do on certain dates and et cetera. And so you can see what the kind of how the market is acting, if it's acting normal or if it's acting extremely buoyant or heavy, that kind of thing. So right now, if we don't do 20 today or Monday, and between today and Monday we start to close above 33, then I start looking at yesterday as a very bullish consideration, the fact that they got down to 22 and couldn't hit the 20 level.
So we'll see, because normally that's what they would have done. So we'll go into that later. There's a couple other interesting markets we can take a look at.
Let me throw you a question. Okay, now
please.
That spike down yesterday where they almost got to 22,
mm-hmm.
that came on the news of the earthquake. Okay.
Okay.
Would you, I'm trying to, I mean, that's obviously not something that happens every day. But yet the market, mm-hmm. it did happen, and the market did attempt mm-hmm. to go to that price. It didn't quite get there.
Mm-hmm.
Had there not been, let's say, you know, there had not been an earthquake, do you, based on what you do, now you do it, do you think the market would have still, would you have still, the earthquake had nothing at all with price trying to get to 22, correct?
No, I'm not making that assertion at all. I make the assertion that the market hits these prices and does so with the help of news.
Okay.
Because news
okay.
The cycle of news and the cycle in the market are very much aligned. The market is essentially a huge antenna, and it takes in all kinds of information and processes it into price. And some of that information that it takes in is cyclical. A lot of that information that comes in is cyclical in nature. And that by looking at the market and understanding how they work, how cycles work, you can also essentially predict when big news is going to come out, because you know when the cycle is there, because of the nature of how the market acts like an antenna for all kinds of information. The information gets processed, and the output of the information for most people is essentially just price. But there's other information in the market as well that processing, that big funnel that comes down with all that information, people's hopes and fears and money that they have in the market and everything else that's operating, all that gets funneled in along with other types of information as well. And the other types of information are fall under the nature of cycles and other information that essentially gets displayed in the market's subsequent movement. And so I've said this many, many times on your show that, you know, how many times have we had a forecast for something we don't know the news, and then suddenly the market runs to the number, and then people say, well, yeah, it ran to the number because this news came out. But it all happens on the same day. It all
mm-hmm.
happens at the same time. So the news and the market, rather than, you know, it's the usual thing with man, they divide themselves into groups. You know, I'm the fundamentalist over here. I believe in news, and you guys, the technical guys, are nuts. Then you have the technical guys. Well, the news guys are nuts. It really is all in the technicals. And I think the truth is actually a hybrid. It's that both are part of the same thing. It's more holistic than that. It's
We're
not
opposite
a division.
Ends of the same piece of string.
Right. So it's all one thing. And inside that one thing, you can, if you want, divide yourself off into a camp that says
right.
I'm purely technical or purely news. But even though I'm purely technical, I absolutely have been convinced, and I'm completely satisfied to my own satisfaction, that the news is indeed part of the market. The cycles of news are equivalent to the cycles in the market, and that very small things that happen are related to very small bits of potential news or rumor or whatever, and then larger events are tied in quite often with very big pieces of news. Now, there are big moves that can occur where they don't know what the news is and why people are afraid or, you know, whatever. But those fall into a slightly different category. But for the most part, the whole thing is very holistic. It's all one thing, two sides to the same coin. There's no need to divide yourself up into different camps because all of that stuff is reflected in the market. So it processes everything that's happening. It's very... omniscient, or whatever the word is, where it's taking in more than you would think. There's more reflected in the buying and the selling than just the mere recording of price going up or down. So something for people to think about. But that's how I used to be purely technical, and I now know for myself that the news is tied in with this. So now, having said that, is it possible that the market would have gone down and done the number without the news? Yes, because we've seen that as well. But the market can have its own internal cycle, that doesn't necessarily have to have a big world event or some other event that would take it there. To this day, there's nobody that has really properly, I mean, as far as they're concerned, properly connected the crash of 87, as an example, to a specific news piece. There's all kinds of theories about computerized trading, and we continue to do computerized trading even to much more intense levels since then. And so there can be very big moves where you might not be able to connect that to a particular news event. There's other types of cycles in the market where the market just purely technically has to go do a number, and it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to a news event. But in my experience, a lot of the types of forecasting that we're doing now, especially on the longer term, there's almost always something that comes out that people can identify and say, well, this event that's normally associated with this market occurred, whether it's a report or whether it's a surprise report, whether, you know, whatever it is, or whether it's weather, you know, something unusual that comes up in the weather. It can all play a part in that. And having said that, let's jump over. I'll give you a great example. Let's jump over to, or a current example, to soybeans. Yesterday on the program, I mentioned that the, for several days I've been mentioning that the 7th or the 8th would mark an important bottom in the soybean market for an initial 28 cent advance off that low. Yesterday's low was 1360. Add 28 cents to that, that's 1388. The market right now is trading at 1387.5. And so that move happened. Now, is there news associated with that 28 cent advance? I'm not sure. But I'll bet you, from what Bert told me, there was a crop report today. That crop report came out. I don't follow crop reports. I don't know anything about them, and I don't know whether they would be bearish or bullish on the market. All this was done purely technically. But something is associated with this, and the fundamentalists would say, well, yeah, the markets are up because the crop report, not because of your technicals. And the technicals would say, no, the market's up because of the technicals and not because of your report. Bob Prechter tries to take that approach. Bob Prechter tries to take the approach that he's the Elliott Wave guy, that, and I believe he's incorrect. He's trying to take the approach that Elliott Wave, which is a very beautiful kind of an expression of the market that's almost too general to really trade with properly. It's a very, very nuanced and very, very, what's the word, you know, you have to have, it's pattern recognition to the nth degree. It's got a lot of that going on in it, and it can be very difficult to really ascertain. In some conditions it can be easy, but there's a lot of stuff in Elliott Wave that's very difficult to get any 2, 3, 4, or 5 people to agree upon. But he believes that the news has no effect on the markets at all. And so he is coming from a different place, and it's much more like, well, he believes, well, this is happening. The Elliott Wave pattern is here, according, you know, to his view of Elliott Wave. And I respect his view. I respect him. But he's one of the people that believes that it happens all by itself, that it's in a vacuum and it doesn't really need the news. It doesn't really tie in with the news. The news might come along and it might look like it makes it do that, you know, and all that kind of thing. But in reality, the world is too holistic for that. Everything is interconnected to the nth degree. Nothing happens in the universe without the whole approval of the entire universe. For you to get up this morning and to be able to do the radio program, the entire manifestation has to agree with that. If it doesn't agree with that, then you're not going to be able to do it, because you're a subsequent product of that whole manifestation. You are part of it and a subsequent product of it. You are subject to it. And so everything has to be in agreement for these things to happen, and you're not going to be able to, you can philosophically divide things up and say this is separate from that, but in reality it's all connected. And the, I think the evidence points to that quite nicely. It wouldn't be, you couldn't just say it's coincidence that every time a market moves up or down big that there's a news event associated. You couldn't just make the argument, which many people do, that, oh, well, that's just, you're just attaching some news. You're just trying to pick the news that you think is associated. The market really did that all by itself, you know, and on and on and on. And Prechter is taking that approach, that this whole thing, the whole movement of the market, happens on its own, that it's just the nature of the market intrinsically without reference to anything outside of it, as if it was in a vacuum. So I don't think that's correct. And, you know, I can be his best buddy and just disagree with him on the, I don't know him actually, but, you know, I could be his best buddy and just not know anything or know what I know, he knows what he knows, and we still go trade the market. So it's a long, this is the Christians and the, you know, whatever, this is the fight between religions, you know, the fundamentalists and the technical people. And I really think the truth lies in the middle, which is that both things play their part in the market. And that if you're technical, and if you're good at technicals, you're really reading information in the market that is in fact related to cycles of news without knowing it. And then when the news comes along, you just simply disregard that and believe that you're doing pure technical work. You're actually doing both when you do this stuff. So in the soybeans, and by the way, that's just my opinion. Obviously, I don't know it all. I'm just another guy out there that's doing my thing. And that's just my, after many years of doing this, that's my best coalition of the facts as I see them. Today, with the soybeans being up, a lot of this move occurred on the overnight, so we weren't able to get into this move. Today, we were going to message this trade out. And your listeners, by the way, I mean, not that it's, you know, not going to make a big deal out of it, but our subscribers didn't even know about the soybean move. Only your listeners did, because we talked about it yesterday. We didn't get a chance today to really put the trade on, because they essentially completed it on the overnight. Had they opened up somewhere near yesterday's close or somewhere around there and started to do stuff, we would have banged that thing out and everybody would have been, you know, in the market. But they completed it. There's substantially more that can occur, but for me in this market, for those of you who may want to trade this, there's another sizable advance potential here. But I need to see a daily close above $13.93 in May soybeans before I'm going to do that. One thing that would get me long is if we do have a pullback, and for those of you who are Reflected Wave seminar people who have been there, I would want to buy Reflected Wave pullback in this market right now for the potential of them testing 93 and then breaking through it. But until they have a daily close above it, I would not enter the market except perhaps beginning it as a day trade with a pullback and then maybe converting it into an overnight trade if the market then advanced from that pullback and then, you know, left me with a lead in the position, and then I could trade into the next day maybe for a gap over 93 and then we'd be on our way higher. So anyway, so soybeans was good. I was very happy to see it up, and I was happy even though I didn't, you know, get in it. And I think I only broke like a sofa and three chairs. I mean, it was like I was almost completely calm, you know, about it. That's humor, by the way, because I don't actually throw chairs and sofas when I miss trades. Okay, is Bert here? Somebody help me with this? No.
Bert's not here.
I know. I'm just playing. Dwayne normally would throw in the applause or the laughter, but, you know, he's
I think he had to step aside, too, for a few minutes.
You guys just wind me up and let me go. I'm just running on my own. Everybody just goes and gets their dry cleaning done.
And yeah,
Dave's on. Dave's on. Okay, listen, I got to do some dry cleaning. I got a little mailing to do.
They're all coming to our new Martinizing franchise to pick up their drag.
Exactly. Listen, I have a friend. He's the guy that wrote our agreement, our legal stuff in the Reflected Wave stuff. That's the agreement that people sign. I've known him since high school, and he's just like this. You start him talking, and you can literally set the phone down and go, you know, go to the bathroom, go get a sandwich, you know. I mean, and you can pick up the phone and go, no, I know what you mean, and then put the phone back down, and he will still be talking when you get back. Am I that bad?
Yeah. hang on, let me take a bite of my sandwich.
You already did it. Oh, so there, proof of the matter. See, that's dry. That's very funny. All right, we'll move on from there. Let's see what else we can do here. Okay, so the soybeans, we got that. There is also something with bonds, but I didn't particularly want it. I'm going to leave the bonds. This, there was a bottom in bonds due. It's one day late, and so I'm just going to pass on that. We don't have anything in the euro today. That the euro is up substantially, which is a you know, this is just a beautiful example of how these markets trend. Gold as well, potential is up substantially here. So there may be something in gold on Monday for us, and we may want to take a look at that. Now, yesterday I mentioned about crude. That crude, very much in the same way, one day early, the natural position for crude on the date of April 8th was 108.24, and the day before yesterday, the day before today, yesterday, it got down to 108.40. So you can see, and I mentioned this yesterday, that's the natural position. They weren't able to touch that, and they did it one day early, which is bullish. The timing cycle came in one day early and they stayed above the price by a few ticks, that's bullish. And I mentioned that if they couldn't do that, then they would today have to go up to 111 and change. And today they've made a high of 112.10. So this is very, obviously, very bullish behavior for this market as well. Similar in a way what we might be seeing in the S&P on the daily chart, what we talked about earlier this morning. Some of this is a little confusing. It's much easier if you can see it on a chart, but we're not doing it with charts right now. So let's see. So crude. So yeah, there's not a lot left for me today other than the soybeans, which I maybe somebody in the audience got a chance and picked that up because we mentioned yesterday, anything where it turns at all, start taking advantage of it because we're one day late on the cycle and we should go up 28 cents. I hope somebody got something. I didn't, and I have to buy some new furniture because I bashed it into the walls because, you know, that's good trading. You know, if you miss it, you just throw something. That's pretty good. Anyway, yeah, we know that. Silver is up substantially today, just beautiful moves. These are huge, huge moves in these markets. Anyway, so really, for me, that's all we have. Now, Michael, I've been doing a lot of talking here. Time for you to cough it up. What's happening on your end? And I know something you said earlier, but...
No, on my end, well, Dwayne kind of outlined my trade so far this morning. I had.
Well, does Dwayne speak for you all the time, Michael, or do you speak for yourself?
Not all the time.
Can I get Dwayne on here and have him finish it for you?
Occasionally I speak for myself.
But, okay, go ahead. Speak for yourself.
But in this case, Dwayne's not available to speak for me.
So, sorry. Well, we're forced to listen to you. We're forced to listen to you then. Okay.
Sorry about that. No, I had a couple of Russell trades this morning. One win, one loss, so I'm break even on the Russell. I had one ES trade, and I traded from zone to almost zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a 4-point trade.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sometimes
now,
I think the zone to zone has to do with something Dwayne is, well, let's just say it's smoking, because, you know, maybe that's what he means by that. He smokes a little something, he's in kind of one zone, and then a little later he's kind of in another zone. And then you come over and visit him, and he's just sitting in a room with a blacklight poster and a Led Zeppelin thing on the wall, and he's just in there trading zone to zone. Yeah, no,
Pink
go ahead.
Floyd or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Pink Floyd, something going on.
So right now I'm just kind of watching. Things are not really moving anywhere. You know, silver was going up, gold was going up. Crude actually just made another bump up. 112.06 is where it just went up to. It's pulling back here for a little bounce, probably down at 112, 111.98, right in that range, probably for another bounce. Other than that, I'm just kind of hanging out. You know, it's a slow day. We haven't had that much volume so far on the day. I think on the ES, we've only had about total volumes about 870,000 in that range, and we had about 200,000 of that pre-market. So it's a really slow.
It has been. It has been, and that's why we're trying to find other markets. This weekend, I'm going to try to add two new markets to what we're doing. So, on our end, you know, something, cocoa or coffee or something that, if we can work out the details, so we have more markets and more indications each day, because it's nice to get a trade in if you can. You know, it's nice to have something active on a given day. I think we're only following on our end. Maybe six.
I was looking at a bunch of things over the weekend, last weekend. You know, the South African
Rand
and all that kind of stuff, and the markets, you know, the charts themselves, technically they look outstanding, but
they do.
There's no liquidity in the market. So that's the problem.
How do they look at outstanding without liquidity? I would think the movement
the way that it works on the charts is, you know, you'll see an entry, and then the slippage is so big because there's no liquidity.
Okay. There's nobody
that shows the slippage. You know, it'll paint bars on the charts that I use anyway. It'll paint bars of slippage. It'll paint, you know, 30 bars of slippage. It looks like just a nice move down.
Okay, I got you.
Essentially, it was just a bad slippage.
You know, this is the year for the trend follower in these markets, all of them, the gold, the silver, soybeans, and all these things. People who are really skilled at trend following, you're going to see if you follow some of the bigger, I don't know where you can follow it, but the people who really are trading big, maybe the George Soroses and the, you know, the big funds, the people that know how to follow a trend and, you know, do it for a year, you know, be in a position for a year, which is just an enormous period of time to be in a trade, this is really going to be a big year for them if they've, are following, doing really real trend following. That's what the old turtles system was based on, for a long time in the 90s. For those of you who go back to the 90s, you know, a lot of the Turtle systems were being... Turtle is a system, is a trend-following system that was being sold. You can still buy books on it and stuff, and it's out there. It's a... it's probably... Really, in truth, it's probably where most of the money in the commodity markets has been made, is in real trend following. The kind of things that we're doing, where we buy and sell, and we're snipping in and out of the market, I really think is a very small pool of money that gets made in that, relatively speaking, relative to trend following. The problem with all of these things, I mean, everything has its ups and downs. Trend following requires the most psychology of any of this stuff, because you're going to be tested repeatedly before the market breaks into a trend often. And then once it's in a trend, you're going to be tested with the idea of, you know, you've already built up enormous profits that you don't want to see go away. But if you're going to follow the trend, you have to give the market room. And it goes on and on. It actually gets pretty tricky to be a trend follower. Tricky meaning it's difficult psychologically to stay with the position, especially one that has enormous gains in it. And one of the things, whether you like George Soros or not, that he is actually very, very good at as a trader. He's not a Warren Buffett. He's not an investor forever. He is a trader. Is that he can hold on to a position for a long, long time and let all kinds of stuff happen back and forth and still be in it. There's several of them out there. He's just one. But that's one of the things that, you know, he did make himself a billionaire substantially out of trading in the markets. And that doesn't really come from day trading. Day trading can be done, you know, you can make a lot of money day trading. I mean, it depends on what you think a lot of money is, but, and it's not a contest, but I think the majority of the big money, the really big money in markets, is made in the trend following. So some years the markets are not trending, and those guys have tough years, they get stopped out, and et cetera, et cetera. And some years, like these recent years, have been very, very active trend following markets. So it's been really good for them, and quite often when the market gets into a very tight trend, it has very low volume, very much like what we're seeing on the S&P. It just sits at numbers. It's very comfortable to sit there. It doesn't necessarily need to go up today or down today, but it just kind of stays in a small little range, and it does what we're seeing. We've seen this before. For the amount of time that I've been in the market, which is almost 22 years now, and that's a very short time, to be honest with you. A whole lifetime is not that long, because markets can do so many different things. But the fact is that for me, after watching it that long, I've seen many, many of these types of trends where the market just gets very quiet, the volume gets very low, and the market just trades as if it was at low numbers. It's just comfortable trading at these very, very high levels. So that doesn't make for good intraday day trading, but it might be good for people who are learning to trade, in the S&P at these levels, because it's very quiet, it's very easy to manage the position, and one of the guys that works with me here is doing that now with the S&P. He's trading at my suggestion that he's doing that, because it is quiet and he can get some beginning skills in the S&P. So, you know, for me, that's basically it. I'm hoping that next week the market will show its hand a little bit more, but in the meantime, it's fun to still look for some intraday trades here. And see if we can get a little action out of the markets intraday. And if you can't, you just let it go and make those clicking sounds like Michael Bork does on his computer in the background. Yeah, if you can't trade, just do the clicking for us. Let me hear the clicking.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the sound. So that's the boredom sound. If you're really kind of bored and you don't have a trade, you hear that sound. It's just, it's part and parcel. You know, honey, where's that sound coming from? What is that sound? It's just whenever the markets are very slow, we hear that sound. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, did you ever ask David this question posed by Ray about the Euro Advance?
I did not. I didn't.
Question on the Euro Advance, David. Could that have been called by Reflected Wave? I don't know if you guys have even looked at the Euro today or talked about it.
I have. I've looked at the Euro. It's up substantially.
It is.
What was the question? Could it have been called
Could this advance have been called by Reflected Wave? In other words, did you have any indication that this was on the was coming?
When he says this advance, does he mean today's advance, or does he mean a larger picture of this?
I'm guessing he means from where it started to rally last night.
Oh.
Which I'm guessing came off of the ECB news.
Yeah. Dwayne, stop rolling your chair around.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, I'm just joking.
Sorry. I had to get my phone. It's ringing.
I'm not sure. I would have to look at the charts. One of the things that Reflected Wave does is it tells you, in fact, there's two things that Reflected Wave does, which one of which is that it calls market tops as tops, and it calls market bottoms as bottoms. In other words, in advance, it's telling you whether there's going to be a top or specifically a bottom. If it's a bottom and you buy it, then the market, you're intending on the market going higher, and you would be taking profits on the way up. So I think it would be fair to say that there's almost no doubt in my mind that we could have found a place to buy the euro based on Reflected Wave. I haven't gone into it and checked, but that it does indeed do that, and it can be used to buy the market. I'll give you a good example. One of the calls that we made was for a bottom that was made on March 11th, and for a substantial, we were looking at that point for a $3.74 move up. But March 11th was, in fact, a Reflected Wave bottom. So we had two things coming together on that day. So we were using both Reflected Wave and other work to identify that the market was going to go substantially, you know, $3.74 higher. So you do get setups like that inside of trends. And Reflected Wave is particularly good in a trend. It's very good in nailing the exact pullback bar that you could then decide to go long on and hold a position for various profits, you know, various targets on the way up. So without really looking at it and going into it right now, I would say that yes, it could call many of these moves, not any of them, but many of them, and it indeed does that. It's actually surprisingly good. The euro is surprisingly good with Reflected Wave, and that's why I'm using it in conjunction. We recently, I think back on April 5th, we called for a daily bottom and then a move up of $1.75 or whatever the number was, a sizable move up, and we got that. That was based on a smaller time frame Reflected Wave bottom along with the forecasting tool called Spatial Relationship Forecasting, where we were forecasting that advance. So we've done that several times in the euro. You don't need a lot. If you know that there's a bottom there, and you have if the bottom is occurring at an important support level, which most of the time it is, because important turns occur at important prices, the fact is that you can put a lot of really nice trades together just knowing the turning points. The people that went to the seminar have 3 hours or more with me one-on-one after the seminar, and they can and we talk on the weekend, and my weekends are filled with talking with them and showing them a lot of little neat things that you can do with it and neat little tricks and stuff. And so that's something that I think is important, because there's more to it than just tops and bottoms. It actually can be used in a number of different clever ways. And it took me a lot of years looking at it just to see it, because sometimes it can be very simple. It can be right in front of you, but for some reason you just don't see something. And then one day you walk in and you just see it. You know, you can't even take credit for it. You just, oh, okay, I'll make a note of that. And then you go on and you continue to work with that. And so I'm giving some of that to them. So we do, by the way, and I just want to mention this, not to make a commercial out of this, we expanded the June 3rd, or June 4th, June 5th seminar. We had sold it out. It was already sold out, but we were able to get three additional seats without making the room too crowded and everything. We got three additional seats that are available. So, and this seminar will also have some alumni, people who I've worked with in the past, there. There'll be three people there as well, one of which knows a lot of what I do on this program. So this is going to be kind of special. There's a fellow there that many years ago worked with me, and I taught him some of the things that you're seeing me do now. I've refined them more now, and then came up with daily roadmaps and things like that in March of last year. But he's very sophisticated. He knows a lot. And he's going to be there as well on this seminar. So there's also a woman that I worked with that's going to be there. Her name is Laura Flax. She's going to be at this seminar as well. She's wonderful. She's a trader. She has just as much interest and passion as any person you would know, man or woman. And she's just a ball of energy. So she's going to be there as well. And then one other fellow is going to be there. So we do have three additional seats available for the June 4th, June 5th. So if you have an interest in it, I just want to say really quickly, you can call and chat with me personally. There's no hard sell on any of this to people that are going to the seminar buy on their own. They don't buy because somebody jams them into it on the telephone. This is not what this is all about. This is about giving away something that means a lot to me and giving you the opportunity to put it to use in your own trading. And we did, by the way, we're going to take them down, but for the time being right now, we have some, you can go to masterforecastercourse.com and see some of the attendees that were there. We have, if you scroll through, there's a few video testimonials that you'll see from them. We're taking them off the site, but they're up there now. They'll probably be there for another day or so. These are people who actually came, actually learned the stuff, and it's on day two of the seminar if you have any interest in taking a look at that. So let's see. Other than that, Dwayne, you know, everything just wants to go higher. The market loves bad news, and it loves it with a passion because that's all there is. I mean, can you think of any good news? Give me one piece of good news. And see, there isn't any. I don't even want to let you talk because there's none. It's all bad. It's like a radio station playing the hits. All bad all the time. Every day there's another earthquake in Japan. There's more radiation. There's 10,000 gallons or 10,000 tons of water, irradiated water going into the ocean. We can't eat sushi anymore. The government's about to shut down. There's floods in the Midwest. There's state by state where people are screaming about the, you know, the government or the Republicans or whatever you want to say it, you know, shutting down the ability to do the bargaining, the collective bargaining with the unions, and people are, you know, it's just never ends. The whole Mideast is on fire. Every one of these countries is, you know, has all their people screaming against. It's all bad. It's all bad news, and the market wants to go up. That's why I think you should be long in the market.
I am here to
That's
tell
why.
You that if you are a serious student of trading.
Okay, never mind. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the guys.
I was clicking.
That's why I like being long here, because there is no better definition and will never be ever a better definition of a bull market than a market that rallies on bad news. That's the 100% mark. It can't get any better than that. If a market rallies on bad news, ain't no two gosh darn ways about it. That's a bull market. And this market rallies on bad news. That's the highest definition. God himself cannot come up with a better one than that. A market that rallies on bad news, that's the highest and best definition that's ever possible for a bull market. And that's exactly what we've had for the last 24 months. And we continue to have it. And all the bad news that's happened recently hasn't done anything. And even if we do get a multi-week reversal up here, it's meaningless unless they break critical levels. And the market has shown still to this point that they're very, very comfortable at these high levels, and that new bad news, even if they're not rallying on it, like continuing in the trend per se, the fact is they're not declining on it either. So you could start out with the very best definition and say a bull market is a market that rallies on bad news, and then you could take it to the next level and say a bull market is a market that doesn't decline on bad news. That's level two.
Mm-hmm.
One is that it, you know, rallies on good news. Two is that it won't decline on bad news, or decline substantially. It doesn't do a lot of declining on it. So that's what we've got. At the very, very worst case right now, we have a market that won't decline on bad news. Where's the good news? You know, are Sonny and Cher getting back together? No. I mean, that would be good news. There, it's not there. There's nothing else good going on. It's all bad news all the time. That's the world we're in right now. I want to come out with a radio station that just has bad news because it's doing great things. The bad news station. We just, you know, we leave the good news to all the other networks, which are all really bad news networks. Anyway, so anyway, we could come up with some fun. We could have some fun with that, Dwayne. Anyway, I think, Dwayne, that's it for me today. It's a very quiet, very relaxed market here. We'll just have to wait and see if there's any other setups. But I hope somebody got an opportunity on the soybeans, because that really was a nice move that they popped up here, and it worked out perfectly. It was one of those one-day lates where I've said this before, the risk-reward ratio, the probabilities get dramatically higher on that one-day late and or this wasn't even one day late, actually. I'm sorry. It was the 7th and 8th. So I'm sorry. I take that back. It was just a good reversal. The market did the move. We'll see how that plays out into Monday. So, Duane, unless you have any questions for me, I'm ready to zip into the weekend.
Okay, buddy. Let's get zipping. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
No, I can't think of anything else. It's all been covered. Now, you were looking to get long at 28. Did you take that off?
We canceled that.
We canceled that. Okay.
We canceled before they came down. We canceled because it was just too quiet. It turns out now that it was a good thing. We didn't cancel because we thought they were going to go lower necessarily, but we just canceled it earlier, and it never got triggered. So we may have something else in a little bit here as they go a little bit lower that will give us a signal. So that's basically it. And Michael Bork, if he's still there, maybe he's run off
gone.
Now, but
yeah.
He's already gone.
Yeah.
I'd like to wish everybody, all your listeners, a great weekend. We do have a webinar coming up on Wednesday about a reflected wave. And so if anybody has an interest, they can come to it. They go to our site. They can go to our blog page, and there's information on that page and a link that you can click on to sign up for it. And you can ask questions there, and we'll go over some of the recent examples of it, et cetera, and see if it's something that's useful for you in your trading. It certainly has been useful for me, and a number of probably several hundred of the turning points that I've given out over the years on this radio station are all due to that, whether they were on a five-minute chart or a daily or weekly or quarterly, because the call for a quarterly top that we made back in November for this year, the first quarter of this year, was reflected wave, as was several other weekly and other calls that we recently made. So if you think that would be useful for you, check it out and see, and then you're welcome to call and ask questions.
There's
so
a Dane, question Wayne, if you have any, if you have yet to plan one beyond June.
No, right now we don't have a plan for anything beyond June.
Okay.
It's a little bit to the point right now where we're trying to decide what we're going to do. We're not actually at a point yet where we're going to make a decision, but there for us right now, June is the only one that we have on the books.
Okay.
That's not a marketing thing. That really is. We're playing this by ear as it goes along. And so far, I really have to say, the first group that we trained, I liked every single person in that room. Every last one of them were really, I thought, really sincere, asked very good questions. I've been in contact with them afterwards. Honestly, I'm very, very pleased with what happened there. We checked these people out before they came. They couldn't be newcomers and some other things. But it turned out very, very good. They all very much understand what they learned, and I'm working with them on the weekends now. If they have questions, I've got a whole weekend of it this weekend. Really, really happy with that first one, and I'm hoping that the second one goes as well. So for the time being right now, this is it. And I'll let you know if we change our plans or if we get more than we think we can handle, then that might demand might drive it. But we'll see. For the time being, we don't know.
Very good, David. So.
Okay, thanks, Duane. You guys have a great weekend. I'll plan on talking with you on Monday.
You too. I look forward to it.
Okay, me too. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up for another week of broadcast. We, you got your full hour's worth. Hour and 10 minutes, so that's very good. The market is back in the 1327/28 weekly trading zone. It's been there a lot this week. Click over to an hourly chart here. As you can see, this is the third hour flirting around with this level. Is it going to be support again or not? As you can see here, on Wednesday night, it held, took us up to the zone above 33.34, printed dynamic resistance, and then the flash crash based on the earthquake actually took us almost to that 21.22 level. Missed it by a couple ticks. And then we just worked our way around 27.28 for 1, 2, 3, 4 hours, 5, 6, 7. And then things finally got underway last night after 7 hours of hovering around the zone, and we moved north to 33.34, where we hovered about for 7 hours, and then the sell-off this morning. And now here we are, confronting this. On the hourly chart, the next piece of the puzzle is dynamic support. As I pointed out earlier, dynamic support has appeared here, here, here. So far this week, on the hourly, this is a Globex chart, okay? So as this came down this morning, I was looking for us to print dynamic support in here. We've not printed it yet, okay? I'm still waiting for that. Now that YM trade that we took on the Globex session last night, that was based on the market finding dynamic support right here on the hourly on the ES. And I explained that both in the community workshop last night as the trade was underway, and then again this morning in the live trading room. I'll be watching that, and it may prompt me to take some action over here. Now, when I took that trade last night, I realized that I had to trade up through this weekly zone on the YM. That's why I was entering long on a stop above that zone. Price was actually down here when I put the trade on. I needed price to come up here, trigger me in. This was my stop. Right across here. That was the target. But again, that was all based on this right here. The fact that we found dynamic support at the weekly trading zone. Dynamic at fixed is good. Good stuff. Okay, there's a trade there. Still got to manage it. Still got to find your entry. Set a reasonable target. And manage it if it goes awry. But so that's where I'm at now. See, we've been at this resistance 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 hours now. Yeah. I want something fresh to work with. So I'm probably not going to short this market here. I'm going to wait till I see some dynamic support set up. And if there's enough time left in the trading day, and if I happen to be here at the desk, that's what I'll look to do. If the market sells off without me, it sells off without me. Dale, sorry I missed your question. No, I think he's going to stump for Donald Trump. Yeah, there's a slogan, stump for Trump. All right. We're all done here. Thanks again to our sponsor, Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/CFRN. Take advantage of a free audiobook download. You can spend 3.5 to 4 hours. That's about the average length, I think. Maybe some are longer. Of having someone read a book that you find of interest. New York Times bestseller, fiction, nonfiction, business-oriented, romance novel, children's book. You get to choose from 85,000 titles, and it's free. All you got to do is go to Audible Trial. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. Put it in your iPhone, it won't go on your iPad, or maybe it will, I just couldn't figure it out. Put it in your iPhone, put it in any MP3 player, or put it in your laptop. You can even put it in your desktop. You can sit at your desk and do other things while someone reads you a book that you want to read. Okay? There's got to be something out there that you've been meaning to buy, you've been meaning to read. Now you get it for free. Oh, that's a pretty good deal. All right, that's going to be it for this week. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope that you will make it a point to spend quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday, right? Thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.